What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Here are the steps that Donald Trump has taken to create a war with Iran. First, he tore up the Iran nuclear agreement.
I am announcing today that the United States will withdraw from the Iran nuclear deal.
Second, he has escalated crippling sanctions against Iran.
The sanctions kicking in at midnight Sunday target Iran's oil exports, banking, and shipping, even though UN inspectors say Iran is still complying with the nuclear deal.
The United States will pursue additional sanctions, tougher than ever before.
Third, he designated Iran's military as a terrorist organization.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has announced that the U.S. is designating the Iranian Revolutionary Guard as a terror group.
Today, the United States is continuing to build its maximum pressure campaign against the Iranian regime. I am announcing our intent to designate the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, including its Quds Force, as a foreign terrorist organization.
With this terror designation, the U.S. can sanction pretty much anybody who talks to or deals with or has any business whatsoever with the IRGC.
And fourth, he continues to deploy more and more U.S. troops to the region.
Just moments ago, the Pentagon authorized an additional 1,000 American troops to the Middle East in response to growing concerns over Iran.
The Trump administration announced yesterday that a U.S. aircraft carrier and a bomber task force are being sent to areas closer to Iran.
Yes, there will indeed be hell to pay. Let my message today be very clear. We are watching, and we will come after you.
We've got to stop Donald Trump from starting a war with Iran. I'm asking you to join me and support my legislation, the No More Presidential Wars Act.
And we are back with another episode of the Kyle Anzalone Show, and it is absolutely astounding how much has changed in the 6 years since Tulsi put out that video and all those statements were made. I mean, Mike Pompeo is now a quarter of the size he was then and somehow aged 25 years, and Tulsi Gabbard has sold her soul. So we're going to be breaking that down on today's show. The big news, of course, is the director of the National Counterterrorism Center, once Tulsi Gabbard's deputy as director of national intelligence, Joe Kent, has resigned from the Trump administration explicitly over the war in Iran and blames Israel and its proxies into the United States for getting us into the conflict. So again, we're breaking all this down. Let's get into Joe Kent's letter. This is very important what he wrote here. You know, he says that he's resigning because Israel got the U.S. in the war. And, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and get into the text of it. If we could bring up the first full screen, he writes, "I cannot in good conscience support the ongoing war in Iran. Iran posed no imminent threat to our nation, and it's now clear that we started this war due to pressure from Israel and its powerful American lobby." It's almost unbelievable that these remarks are coming from somebody who just, hours ago was a member of the Trump administration, really laying it all out there, saying what many of us in the independent media have been saying over the past 2 to 3 weeks, or really the past 8 months since we first went to war with Iran in June. But very important what Joe Kent is saying there, particularly that Iran posed no threat to our nation. Trump went to war against Iran with no authorization from Congress, meaning that he has to justify this conflict to the American people, the fact that over a dozen of our soldiers are now dead, 200 wounded for this conflict. He has to justify that on the excuse that he had no choice because Iran was going to attack the United States of America, that this was preemptive, not unprovoked, not an aggressive war, but one in a preemptive reaction to what Iran was going to do in attacking the United States. And Joe Kent is obviously someone in the administration who has the professional experience being in the CIA, being a Green Beret, to know if Iran posed an imminent threat or not. Joe Kent understands that if Iran did pose an imminent threat to U.S. troops in the Middle East, that he would want them protected, right? Those are his people. He was in the military. His wife was in the military and actually killed in the military. And so if Joe Kent thought Iran was going to attack the United States and the U.S., the only way we could defend our troops was by starting this aggressive war, then Joe Kent would be on board for that. But he's clearly arguing there that this wasn't the case, that this was a completely needless war, unnecessary war. And I know my audience, we have really kind of pounded this through over the past couple weeks with every guest and my own remarks on this conflict. But again, this being explicitly stated by a high-ranking member of the Trump administration is important. Now, the next part is also very important, too, when he is saying that this was due to pressure from Israel and its powerful American lobby. A former top official in the Trump administration is not just acknowledging that there is a powerful Israel lobby in the United States of America, but is saying that it had malign influence on Trump's decision to go to war against Iran. Right. We've all pointed this out. Now, you know, I would argue that this doesn't take away agency from Donald Trump, that Donald Trump did have other options, that he could have withstood this pressure. But it's also true that without the Israel lobby, without Netanyahu's constant lobbying, provoking and trying to gin up intelligence for a war against Iran, we would not be in this conflict. And again, Joe Kent pointing this out is very important. So next section of his letter, full screen too, he writes, early in this administration, high-ranking Israeli officials and influential members of the American media deployed a misinformation campaign that wholly undermined your America First platform and so pro-war sentiments to encourage a war with Iran. This echo chamber was used to deceive you into believing that Iran posed an imminent threat to the United States. Now, I think Kent here is maybe doing a little bit of cover from Donald Trump. I think the way that this entire letter is written, it's meant to at least not insult Donald Trump so that maybe he reads this and ultimately decides to end the war. But what Kent is saying is, look, he was fed a massive amount of misinformation. Now, he also should be calling out CIA Director John Ratcliffe, who has essentially been acting as a Mossad agent within the U.S. intelligence community, passing false Mossad intelligence about Iran being 2 weeks away from a nuclear weapon, 2 months away from a nuclear weapon, whatever they try to sell Trump on the particular day, that this was fed to Donald Trump. And then, of course, we all know that Donald Trump forms his opinions, makes his policy decisions based on what he hears on Fox News. This isn't a good quality for an American president to have, but that is our current American president. And so if he's hearing that from John Ratcliffe, if he's hearing that from Benjamin Netanyahu, if he's hearing that from Israeli officials, we also know that Israeli officials have been holding private briefings with Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, two of Trump's closest advisors. Kushner, of course, his son-in-law, Witkoff, a friend and his personal envoy who's handled probably more of the negotiations and diplomacy in this administration than his Secretary of State, Marco Rubio. So, right, two very important and influential people have been receiving briefings from the Israelis, and then they're going and carrying that intelligence back to Donald Trump. And, of course, as we found out, Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner understand absolutely nothing about nuclear technology, about what it would take to transform a civilian nuclear program as Iran has into a nuclear weapons program, or why Iran has a stockpile of 60% enriched uranium. So, you know, all of these sources feeding Donald Trump the same narrative. Iran is working on a bomb. Iran's a threat. Iran's this massive Islamic terrorist state that oppresses its own people and has just been doing everything it can to kill Americans for the past 47 years. Now, amazingly, even if it's mostly propaganda, Iran, during that five-decade-long war, has only killed, again, this is a lot of propaganda and spin, 1,000 Americans, according to them. You know, far more deaths from the Sunni jihadist Islamic terrorism than actually from the Shia branch. And again, a lot of this is not really correct in just calling it terrorism. You know, they'll bring up the Marine Barrett's bombing, which, of course, the U.S. was shelling Lebanon at the time. And then the Amal militia, which was backed by Iran, did attack the Marine Barracks, but that is a military target. They'll also call it terrorism when the Shia militias of Iraq, which again had some backing from Iran, were producing EFPs. And as we broke down last week on the show with Matthew Ho, those EFPs killed 600 Americans. But again, this is an example of Iranian terrorism. And yet this has been pounded into Trump's head, and he now believes that there's a threat. Now, the president should be wise enough, should be smart enough to discern what is propaganda, what is foreign intelligence attempting to influence his decision-making and driving him to an offensive, unnecessary, aggressive regime change war in the Middle East. But clearly, Donald Trump isn't that smart, and I'm not sure he ever has been. Now, I got this clip from Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard discussing the Iranian threat.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Okay. Next up here, I do have going on it through Kent's letter. Chris, if we could pull up full screen three, where Kent writes, I support the values and the foreign policies that you campaigned on in 2016, 2020, and 2024, which you enacted in your first term. Until June of 2025, you underscored that the wars in the Middle East were a trap that robbed Americans of precious lives of our patriots and depleted the wealth and prosperity of our nation. And so here I find it interesting that Kent is really trying to appeal to Donald Trump and be like, look, this is the policy that you ran on in 2016, 2020, and 2024. Explicitly, no war with Iran, no wars in the Middle East, no regime change wars, no nation building projects. And the war in Iran is turning into all of those things, or it already is those things. And Kent is saying, how can you have possibly ran on that? When I joined this administration, he was joining it on the idea that Donald Trump was looking to fulfill his campaign promises to the American people. But it's now entirely clear that Donald Trump has abandoned that. Now, next up, I do have Tulsi's response to all of this. If we could pull up Tulsi's tweet, Chris. You know, she is the director of national intelligence, and along with Joe Kent and J.D. Vance, was one of the main members of the administration who are really bringing this realist foreign policy. And she says, I bet the president of the United States, I support the war in Iran. What an absolute coward. How disgusting is this, where you have a man who is putting himself on the line? You know that everybody in the Israel lobby got a memo today that we're going to hear from Mark Levin, from Ben Shapiro, from Randy Fine, from Mike Huckabee, from Ted Cruz, from every Christian Zionist and Jewish supremacist in the United States, that Joe Kent is a Nazi, that he's Hitler, that he's anti-Semitic, that he only does this because he hates the Jews, because he's weak, because he's a Democrat, because he doesn't like Donald Trump. They are going to smear him. They are going to try to destroy him and ruin his life over this. And Tulsi Gabbard, somebody who constantly talks about her brothers and sisters in uniform, is turning her back on one of her brothers in uniform here. She could have at least kept her mouth shut, but really should have resigned with Joe Kent, or even before. As we saw in the opening video of this episode, Tulsi Gabbard railed against going to war in Iran. See, the benefit of having people like Tulsi Gabbard and Joe Kent in government wasn't that I necessarily support their policies or that I believe in everything they think. However, the two of them understood that there was a difference between Sunni and Shia. As Larry Johnson has explained multiple times on this show, 90 to 95% of the terrorism, or, you know, even alleged suspected cases of terrorism that have happened since 9/11 were committed by Sunni terrorists. They understand that the Iranian government, that the Islamic Revolution of Iran, did not support Osama bin Laden or Abu Begar al-Baghdadi or Abu Mohammed al-Jolani or any of the other al-Qaeda and ISIS leaders, the jihadists, the Wahhabists in the region, the people who actually try to inspire lone wolf attacks in the United States of America or plan coordinated, sophisticated attacks like bombings of trains in Europe or the 9/11 attack in the United States, that these groups are actually the enemy of Iran. And so, if we're going around the Middle East, and if we do have enemies in the Middle East, those enemies are not the government of Iran, the former government of Syria, Hezbollah in southern Lebanon, Ansar Allah in Yemen, but rather they're the ISIS groups, the Al-Qaeda groups that exist in many of those countries. And so, you know, Kent and Gabbard are not necessarily opposed to having a drone war, targeted assassinations, special operations missions to go into the Middle East and kill people. All things that I would be opposed to. But at the very least, these two people understood that when you topple Bashar al-Assad in Syria, you get Al-Qaeda now controlling that country. And that if you go and you knock over the government of Iran, that's only going to give more breath and room for the Sunni Islamic terrorists. And so this policy is not in the benefit of the United States or the people of this country. That the Shia Muslims are not the enemies of the United States. They're not looking to take the United States of America down. They don't come here and carry out attacks. And so we ought not be pursuing regime change against these governments when it's only encouraging more terrorism. And here Tulsi Gabbard is looking a policy, a war in the face, being a member of administration in a war that is actively doing the exact opposite of everything she's ever made the central of her political career, opposing needless wars in the Middle East. And she just salutes the president and says, whatever you want, Mr. Trump. I have no thoughts of my own. I have no soul. I have no morality. I have no ethics. I have absolutely nothing. I am here to serve you, sir, and nothing else. I'm not supposed to think. I'm not supposed to judge situations on my own and whether I could be a part of them. I am just a part of the American war machine. And so I'm going to support this war and abandon Joe Kent. Unbelievable cowardice from Gabbard. Now, I do have one more section of Kent's resignation letter that I want to bring up. He writes, I pray that you will reflect upon what you are doing in Iran and who you are doing it for. The time for bold action is now. You can reverse course and chart a new path for our nation. You can allow us to slip further into towards decline and chaos. You hold the cards. Now, I thought this paragraph was important because, you know, something I've been talking about and going over and highlighting that I don't, you know, that Kent is really trying to appeal to Donald Trump in this letter. But one of the criticisms I've seen of Joe Kent from the more anti-war independent media community is that he is basically the first rat jumping off the sinking ship, that he sees this war in Iran is going to be an absolute catastrophe. And he is just trying to get out of the administration. So when J.D. Vance and Marco Rubio and Tulsi Gabbard and RFK Jr. and everybody else's political career is shot because of their involvement in this administration, he could say, well, I resigned. But he's not resigning and criticizing the president. In fact, he's being very kind to Donald Trump in this letter. I mean, he's rebuking the policy, but he's not personally in any way attacking Trump. And so I really don't think this is Joe Kent making a political move. I think he's sincerely resigning here because he's opposed to the war and he believes this is the best thing he could do to end the conflict. Now, Donald Trump is refusing to end this let's go to full screen sits here, Chris. This is from NBC News. The headline, Escalate or Exit, Military Menu of Options for Trump's Next Move in Iran. And in the article, they explain, military officials have included options in regular war planning for President Donald Trump to end the conflict in Iran, should he decide to do so. People familiar with the plans told NBC News, so far he hasn't. And so Kent is trying to nudge Donald Trump to take one of these exit ramps. He's saying, please, Mr. President, the military is giving you the options, do it. And Trump, day after day after day, is refusing to take any of those options. I think it's because Donald Trump probably understands that any of those options means taking a loss, that he has laid out such bold objectives for the war in Iran, completely destroying the missile program, completely destroying the nuclear program, removing the leadership in Iran. Not only that, but picking the country's next leader and then helping the rebuilding process. And so he's laid out these massive, massive goals. And to end the war, he's going to have to probably withdraw from some bases in the Middle East. He's going to have to make an agreement with Iran that's far closer to the 2015 Iran nuclear deal, where Iran gets extensive sanctions relief in order just to get the Strait of Hormuz reopened. So Donald Trump has put himself in a very bad position here. And unfortunately, I don't think he's going to reverse course. This is what the president had to say about Joe Kent today.
It's a good thing that he's out, because he said that Iran was not a threat. Iran was a threat. Every country realized what a threat Iran was. The question is whether or not they wanted to do something about it. They've been a threat for a long time, but they've really been a threat. If I didn't terminate Obama's horrible deal that he made, the Iran nuclear deal, you would have had a nuclear war 4 years ago. You would have had nuclear holocaust, and you would have had it again if we didn't bomb the site. So when somebody is working with us that says they didn't think Iran was a threat, we don't want those people, because there are some people, I guess, that would say that, but they're not smart people or they're not savvy people. Iran was a tremendous threat.
Now, Trump has certainly gotten less intelligent over the course of his 10 years of political, or 11 years now of political life. But this is a long-held view of the president of the United States, that the Iran nuclear deal was going to allow Iran to develop a nuclear weapon. Trump only believes this because he doesn't read. He just watches Fox News. And that's what, you know, Sean Hannity and Mark Levin and all the other anchors and personalities, including Pete Hegseth when he was on Fox News, have said over the past decade, that the Iran nuclear deal was a bad deal, that it gave Iran a path to a nuclear weapon. It explicitly did the opposite, and everybody who's read it or read any analysis of it or has enough brain cells to rub together knows that this is the case. The Iran nuclear deal placed restrictions on Iran's nuclear program that no other country on earth has agreed to. And Iran only did so not because they had a secret nuclear weapon, got caught, and were being punished, but because they so badly wanted the Western sanctions lifted and had no desire to ever build a nuclear bomb, that they were willing to agree to a deal that restricted their nuclear program just to get sanctions relief from the West. This deal allowed imposing inspections of all of Iran's nuclear sites, constant monitoring from the International Nuclear Watchdog, right? The IAEA was everywhere in Iran. They had access to what they wanted. And guess what? When the Iran nuclear deal was in place, every 3 months, the IAEA would come out and confirm that Iran is not working on a new bomb, is fully complying with the deal, and is doing everything right by the agreement. Even when the Americans were violating the deal, right? Barack Obama didn't lift all these sanctions that he was supposed to lift on Iran, and Donald Trump almost immediately reimposed some of them. And even through all that, the Iranians, they didn't violate the deal because they didn't want to build a nuclear weapon. Iran only started advancing their nuclear their nuclear energy program after Donald Trump left the nuclear deal in 2018. And then a year later, they were still negotiating with the Europeans, saying, hey, if you don't reimpose sanctions, if you still do business with Iran, even if the Americans are out of the agreement, we'll still comply with it so long as Europe is willing to do business with us. And Trump was threatening to sanction Europe if they would do so. And so Europe refused to do so. And that's only when Iran left the Iran nuclear deal, was after they did everything they could to remain inside of it. Iran's never had a nuclear program. They have a religious decree against developing a nuclear program. And so there's no evidence that they were going to build a bomb and have a nuclear holocaust, right? This is only something that exists as a fantasy inside the mind of Mark Levin, as he literally spends his entire day on ads calling everybody a Nazi. This man is paranoid. He's delusional. He's psychotic. And yet Donald Trump bases his knowledge of world events and politics off of people like Mark Levin. And so that's why we're in the mess that we're in, is because the president is simply too dumb and isn't interested in reading enough to understand what's really happening in the world, particularly when it comes to Iran, where he has for decades had really bad ideas on how to deal with the Islamic Republic. If Iran ever ends up with a nuclear bomb, this war will be the defining moment in that, where Iran decided that it has no other options, that the Americans and the Israelis will not listen to reason. They will not comply with any agreement made. They can't even negotiate in good faith. If we go back to the negotiating table, they're just going to bomb us. And they're going to look across Asia to North Korea, and they're going to see goofy Kim Jong-un, who still controls fully Pyongyang in North Korea, a country that hasn't been attacked by the United States. And what's the difference between the two countries and Iraq and Libya, is that North Korea held on to its nuclear weapons and it has a full nuclear arsenal now, maybe 100 bombs, and Iran doesn't. And that's why Iran's vulnerable here. So I think the lesson from this war from the Iranians will be that without a nuclear weapon, Israel and the U.S. will just keep attacking and attacking and attacking, and you can't even negotiate with them and you can't even deal with them. And I really hate, as an American, that this is what my country has become, a country that attacks another country in the middle of negotiations, that bats out of every deal, even when another country is complying with it, will, you know, launch in a war on a country and attack a school, do such poor military planning, have such poor intelligence that you'll blow up an entire school. But that is the United States of America today. So before I hop off here, I do have a clip. I apologize, guys. I am going to make you listen to some Ben Shapiro because I think he is representing what we're going to hear from the mouth of essentially every Zionist in this country, whether Jewish or Christian, over the next couple of days about Joe Kent. So let's start that.
Well, this morning, Joe Kent quit his job at the National Counterterrorism Center and issued a scathing letter designed to undermine President Trump. The letter is deeply, deeply conspiratorial. It states openly that, quote, Iran posed no imminent threat to our nation, and it is clear that we started this war due to pressure from Israel and its powerful American lobby. Now, that is conspiracy trash.
It's also kind of strange. So he has no actual argument. Ben Shapiro read this letter. He didn't write down some notes on why Iran was an actual threat. He just calls it conspiracy, trash, garbage. It's no good. You shouldn't listen to it. You shouldn't read it. He says it's scathing direct at Donald Trump, when in reality, as we've gone over, it's critical of the war, but he is calling on Donald Trump to uphold his campaign promises. He's saying, Mr. President, you have been deceived, but you can still make the right choice for the American people. And I think this is an important part of all this. Shapiro and others are going to try to spin this for Donald Trump as this was an attack on you, Mr. President, that this man hates you and he is dangerous. And look, I know I'm going to make you suffer through like 90 more seconds of Ben Shapiro here. And typically, I wouldn't even bother listening to Ben Shapiro myself, but the president is out there posting on Truth Social about how Ben Shapiro is a hero. And so it's clearly right now people like Mark Levin, Laura Loomer, and Ben Shapiro, who Donald Trump is watching and consuming day after day after day to see how he should direct his presidency. So what Shapiro is saying is important, even if it's stupid and coming out of a very, very annoying voice. So let's keep going.
Since President Trump has said that it's conspiracy trash, so apparently Trump is so deeply, deeply enthralled to those strange, powerful American lobbies. We're not going to say it. That he apparently has been so bamboozled by them that he's still under the impression that he's his own man. But here's the thing. President Trump is his own man. He makes his own decisions. And as per our usual arrangement, Trump's critics are cowards who are simply unwilling to acknowledge that Trump is the one making the call.
So pause it there. He's calling Joe Kent a coward. Joe Kent risked his entire political future to stand up to resign from an administration, right? He's the director of the National Counterterrorism Center. If Joe Kent wanted to, if he would have kept his mouth shut and stayed in this administration, he could have gone on to work at some defense contractor or work from some lobbying firm and make millions of dollars, barely working for the rest of his career, right? He was a part of the swamp, the establishment, the blob. And as evil as those people are, it is a very lucrative place to be. And he resigned and criticized the president's policy, right? Directly criticized the president's policy, called out the Israel lobby, and Ben Shapiro is going to call him a coward when this is far more courageous than anything Ben Shapiro has done in his entire political career, right? Ben Shapiro, a few years ago, was a never Trumper. Right, he was warning about the dangers of Donald Trump during his first campaign. He is just a little leech that attaches himself to whatever he thinks is the best way to advance the interests of Israel. Also, I'm guessing everybody noticed there, Ben Shapiro doing his anti-Semitism fingers, right? Where, ooh, this guy is so bad. He's saying things that aren't allowed to be said. We should all just laugh and mock this man that he has no actual criticism of Joe Kent. He can't actually mount any actual intelligent criticism. He's just going to wave his fingers around, imply that he's an anti-Semite, falsely claim that he's personally attacking Donald Trump, and because he doesn't have anything actual to say, any actual arguments to make. He can't argue that Iran is a threat or that Joe Kent did anything wrong, because Ben Shapiro, he is known as a good debater, but he's actually not. He's just very good at selecting his debate opponents. Any pink-haired lady at the college campus event, sure, Ben Shapiro will take you on and ask you what is a woman and challenge you on some other issues, and then take the few facts that he does know, state them very, very quickly, and pretend that he's made a very important point when he never actually does. So let's keep rolling here.
But Joe Kent continued, quote, "Early in this administration, high-ranking Israeli officials and influential members of the American media deployed a misinformation campaign that wholly undermined your America First platform and sowed pre-war sentiments to encourage a war with Iran. This echo chamber was used to deceive you into believing that Iran posed an imminent threat to the United States and that should you strike now, there was a clear path to a swift victory. This was a lie and is the same tactic the Israelis used to draw us into the disastrous Iraq war that cost our nation the lives of thousands of our best men and women." Again, the idea here seems to be that President Trump is a moron, misled into war by nefarious Israelis and unnamed influential members of the American media. Don't say it. Again, apparently, President Trump has no agency and no thoughts. Kent's letter is replete with this conspiratorial idiocy, including, as we just saw, the idea that it was Israel that forced the original Iraq war, an idea totally and utterly unsupportable by any evidence, given the fact that the actual prime minister of Israel at the time, Ariel Sharon, opposed the Iraq war. This stuff is brain rot. Now, listen, we should all be thankful
for... So pause it there, because Ben Shapiro likes to, knows one little fact here and there and likes to throw it in, but he's the Israeli prime minister at the time said he was against the war. Netanyahu came, the current Israeli prime minister came to Congress to lobby for it, said it would be a smashing success. And so nobody is saying that every last Israeli was agitating for a war with Iran or the war in Iraq, but certainly the Israeli lobby and Israeli politicians did make themselves heavily involved in the American political process when it was involved in the lead up to the war with Iraq, and much more significantly here with the war with Iran. You know, Netanyahu has met with Trump 7 times now, and each time he has come to the United States with new intelligence and a new bold plan to take down Iran. So how could Ben Shapiro sit there and pretend that it's just an elaborate anti-Semitic conspiracy theory full of idiocy that is the only thing driving that is the case here, when in reality, it's very clear that Israel has been on a full public relations pressure campaign to get Donald Trump to attack Iran. And look, it was predictable that this was going to happen. You know, poll after poll after poll, particularly after October 7th, but even before that attack, showed that younger Americans did not support the special relationship with Israel that older generations of Americans had. And once the genocide in Gaza happened, younger Americans want nothing to do with the state of Israel, and it's actually become a voting issue for them. It's very possible that Donald Trump will be the last pro-Israel American president, that there may be a critical majority of Americans in 2028 that actually demand that our president say we're ending the special relationship with Israel. No more fighting wars for Israel. No more $4 billion in military aid to Israel every year. We are cutting ties with Tel Aviv. No more. We want no more of it. And the countdown clock was on. Donald Trump was already probably going to lose in the midterms. And if there's a sizable Democrat opposition, particularly with more and more people who ran on the platform of we don't want the special relationship with Israel, maybe if they get all the way to November next year, Congress starts tying Trump's hands when it comes to war with Iran. So Israel's last chance for war with Iran was now, that they are willing to spend all the political capital they had in the United States. Even at the end of this, if Americans hate Israel for what they did, Tel Aviv will assess it's worth it for the destruction of the Islamic Republic. So that's what Netanyahu was doing. Look, Donald Trump does have his own agency and does bear responsibility for this war. But this war started in a joint attack between the U.S. and Israel. Netanyahu started this war too, alongside Donald Trump. And in fact, if you really look at this war as a continuation from the war in June, Israel started that conflict with an unprovoked attack, surprise attack on Iran. They didn't have to do it. Iran wasn't about to attack Israel. Israel chose this war, and Donald Trump chose to join it alongside Israel. And so both could be true here, where Israel played a major factor in Donald Trump's decision-making, and Donald Trump is responsible for the Americans being involved in it. Let's roll the rest of what we have.
Long and honorable military service. We can also be glad that he's leaving, since his ideology is the same as that of Tucker Carlson, the guy who says that the war is disgusting and evil and who has been busy sexting with the mullahs. Tucker Carlson calls Kent a personal friend and, quote, the bravest man I know. Frankly, I think that it is a good thing that Kent is not in this position. We cannot have a director of counterterrorism who is somehow advocating preemptive surrender to the world leading state sponsor of terrorism in the middle of a war.
So, I mean, there's so much there, but really just this hit home here and wrap it up here on this side. Ben Shapiro brings nothing. Not one time can he point to anything that Iran posed an actual threat, that Iran is actually a state sponsor of terrorism. This is a CIA Mossad slogan. It's not a real thing. If you want to look at it, probably the leading state sponsor of terrorism now is America's ally in Damascus, Jolani, who, again, former Al-Qaeda commander, former ISIS commander, now leader of a country. If we want to target a state sponsor of terrorism, we should be dropping bombs on Damascus, not Tehran. Tehran is opposed to the actual terrorist. I don't think Iran, even in a case where their civilian infrastructure is being bombarded by the U.S. and Israel, they are not going to use terrorism to attack civilian infrastructure in the United States of America in response. This isn't a state sponsor of terrorism. This isn't a country that threatened the United States of America prior to February 28th. This is Ben Shapiro's fantasy, because this is Israel's war. And not that Iran even posed a threat to Israel as it exists now, only a threat to the Greater Israel Project that Ben Shapiro and so many of his friends are on board with. All right, everybody, that will do it. That's what I have on the show for today. Thank you all so much for listening to this special broadcast. Be sure you like, share, and subscribe to the channel. Really make sure you subscribe to the channel, because if we do have breaking news and we jump on and do these emergency broadcasts, you're going to get notifications. We put this show together today on very short notice. So everybody in the chat, give producer Chris a big thank you for putting this all together. And we will be back with another episode. episode tomorrow at 4:45 Eastern.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.